That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go for another live episode of Paragon Radio. As always, I'm your host, Pogo Man, from the Virtue Serve. And along with me, he is one-third of the leadership team of Paragon Dawn. He is the one, the only, he is Mad Viking.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big bad bat?
Well, yeah, it depends how big this bat is. If it's a little bat, I'm not too afraid. If it's a big bat, it depends, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
And how are we doing the week? today?
We do not do bad. You know, for those who don't know, we're in the New York area, and we're on the planet Hoth, okay? We got hit with a blizzard last night. Holy mackerel. Last night, all day, you know, all day yesterday.
2017.
Holy mackerel.
Ain't going to get it.
And
we got a little touch, extra touch coming in tonight.
Well, you're getting more snow than I think. I'm just getting freezing rain, which is just ridiculous.
So you don't have to go to Rockefeller Center. You could just go outside on the street to do any ice skating.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, it started yesterday early morning. I woke up. We had plenty of snow already, and it just kept going until about, I think, 6 p.m., they said. Ugh. And it was so bad, no one even went outside to shovel snow yesterday. I think everybody in the family took off today. And then my stepbrother, his boss came by. Actually, it was funny. Today, my stepbrother's boss came by with his truck because he got the snow plow, and we moved the cars out, and because I have an SUV, and he just plowed our driveway for us. He took the plow, and he just plowed the snow out. I was like, cool.
Oh, at least someone did that.
Yeah, I was like, cool. Thank you, man. I never even thought of that. He came up, he drove up, put the plow down once he got to the top of the driveway, and then dragged the snow out. I was like, oh, all right. I thought he was just going to push it up to the top of the driveway. I was like, oh, well, that's cool. I was like, I never even thought of that. I was like, huh. I was like, guys, that's, well, you're the guy with the snowplow. And then he pushed it. There's a lot we had down the block, a couple of places down. And then some neighbors like, can you do our driveway? We'll pay you money. And then he was around. He made some money off. So like,
cool. And the kids are going money. Like, and the kids are going, new sleighing area.
Yeah. So. Well, it was like a wooded area. It was like a small lot of woods, and he just pushed it all. So I don't know what the kids are doing, but. Hey, man, saved people a lot of time today, so. I think it was cold outside, too. So.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you know, we were in late fall or early spring weather the day before.
Oh, it's crazy. It was 60 degrees here and sunny the day before. It was just crazy. That's what they said. It was just crazy weather. Like before, that was Thursday, we got the snow, right? Wednesday, it was like that. And the 2 days and the rest of the week, it was like mid to upper 40s and sunny. Then Wednesday, you had this 60 degree weather and absolutely beautiful out. I was like, are you kidding me? And then Thursday, here's the blizzard. And now this weekend, it's going to be 30s. Tonight's going to be the crappy weather. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be sunny, 30s. And then Sunday, 30s. And freezing rain, possible ice. Icy rain.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well.
And I might have to go out Sunday. I might have to go out Sunday. I had to go to my sister. She's got to teach me how to use some Adobe Illustrator for this new class I'm taking for comic books. What is it? Intro to comic book production and lettering. And I'm already a week behind already. The class started last week.
It was like, you should talk to Swag Hammer and see if you could get going a Paragon the Dawn comic book.
Well, I don't know how to letter. That's the whole thing. I missed the first week already.
Well, he's also a letterer, remember?
Oh, but she just put the programs on for me Wednesday night. I don't know how to use these programs, so I'm going to sit down with her.
When you're all done.
Oh, well, that's the whole point. I want to be able to do this stuff, but I'm already, like I said, I'm already a week behind.
Of course, knowing some of our members, I can see it now. Mature content.
What was that?
Mature content.
Oh, well, I'm not worried about it. It's just the lettering. So, see, I haven't even watched the first. I had a migraine headache Monday all day, so I didn't even watch the class. That's how bad it was. But the only good thing was, I was supposed to go see a neurologist. The appointment wasn't until the end of this month. I got a call Monday morning, and they could see me that afternoon. So my stepdad drove me there. But luckily he got, you know, I was in there, and he was able to help me. But like I said, I missed the first night of class. And like I said, I didn't get the I'm still missing one program. I have to load up Microsoft Word for the Mac this weekend. And we were going to do this all in January. But like I said, those migraines I got, it just threw my whole month of January off. I was going to work on some writing projects and get these programs loaded. And it just, you know, things just didn't go according to plan. So, oh well. What are you going to do, people? Things just happen.
Well, let's see. So, okay, the traditional life.
But you know what? Hey, hopefully I'll be able to catch up and things will go well and I'll figure this out. So one of my friends, one of the guys I met the writing class last semester, he said he took the class and he just, you know, you could even just take the class just for the comic book production part of it. They say you don't even, you know, they even let you take it just for that part. You don't have to do the lettering part of it. You know, they let you take it for that part. So that's what he did. And he just sat there and took notes for that aspect of it. So.
All right.
But I would like to do it for that. But if my headaches are that bad, I might just, you know, it's $600, but what am I going to do, you know? Maybe over the summer if they offer it again, I might do it then. So we shall see what happens.
All right. Now, I'm giving a warning here.
Yes, yes.
Oh, in my house at the moment, I got my nephew who's right now out, you know, roller skating. But they'll be coming back soon. And I'm also watching two dogs, which needs to say once they pull up, they're going to be bark like crazy. So I will be hitting the mute button at that time being.
Yes, we do have a contingency plan. At that point, I will do the weekly updates.
So on that note, it seems that lately I've been able to find real world superhero news situations now. last week we did, it was political. The week before that, it was
I had to bring this up last week. You know, we were talking about the show going late with the after party,
right?
And the fact that it was a Super Bowl. Man, I can't believe. Or seriously, I gotta ask you: you watched the game? Did you honestly think the Patriots were gonna come back after that big lead that the Falcons?
Normally. For the longest time, I've kind of like been on strike when it comes to sports, because as each sport went on strike, I was like, are you kidding me? But it was this. I would say this is the first time in a long time where the Super Bowl was interesting and the commercials were blah.
Right.
I mean,
the commercials
stuck out the most out of everything. Even the Guardians of the Galaxy Super Bowl one, the first one was better.
Right.
You know, I am Groot versus welcome to the freaking Guardians of the Galaxy. And but he didn't use the word freaking.
Right. But they were up 28-3. Did you honestly think they were going to come back? The Patriots, honestly think?
It was like at that point, You know, they said the Super Bowl was the fifth viewed one out of all of it. I would say it was fifth because at that time, halftime, they're going like, game over. And
I'm asking you, did you think the Patriots were going to come back at that point?
They done it before in the past. You know, this was before
not
the
that point spread, though. But
not
that,
that point spread.
Spread.
No. It
was the Falcons. It was their fault. It was their own fault. They ran the ball a total of 5 times the second half. They ran the ball like crazy the first half. They got the coaches killed them. They cost themselves. They got too cute the second half. It's like, why aren't they running the ball? When they ran the ball the first half, they were running it at will. They were running it all over the Patriots.
they got comfy. They were going like, oh, there's no way they're going to come back on that.
Yeah. And if they had run the ball, all they needed was another field goal, and they would have put that game away. One more field goal, and that would have done it. And I don't know why. That was just crazy. I don't know.
Now, but I did see
the chatter afterwards.
I
feel bad for the Falcons fans, but, man, the coaches, I don't.
Now, I did see some of the chatter when I was on with Paragon Dawn
yes.
on Champions. And mm-hmm. I already saw not my Super Bowl champ.
Right, yes.
You were joking about that.
Yes.
The Russians hacked it.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that on Facebook. Yeah, not my Super Bowl champ. The Russians hacked the Super Bowl. I have to ask you a question. When we were kidding, at the end of the after party we did last week, we were joking around about the time. How long the show went. What time did the show end with the after party?
If you mean on Paragon Dawn, we made the comment about the halftime, and you go like, "That was a great halftime show."
Yeah.
Right when the halftime show ended.
Yes, that's what I wanted to know. Bullseye.
I mean, I started early than normal because of the length, and because I didn't want the following DJ, who is Black Magic, to go like. I was like, you mean I'm starting at 10? I was like, no, I started early. And that whole thing, it just went right through.
Oh, that's all. What did people say about that? How did he know? Did anybody say anything about that?
not that I saw, because I thought, you know, like I said, at that time being, you know, everyone's going game over, game over.
Right.
Yeah, but after that, I saw not my Super Bowl champ. The Russians hacked it.
Right.
Breitbart got a hold of it. I'm going like, really? It's a freaking football game.
It was so one-sided. It was like the Falcons had the best game plan for the first half. And going, why didn't you stick with that game plan throughout the second half? Oh, my God.
All right. Well, since we're on sports, the real news, superhero news, is actually sports-related. So, nice segue.
Okay.
There we go.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And the headline is, U.S. ski team to sport Marvel-inspired ski gear.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Spider, a leading ski and performance brand, today announced a two-year collaboration with Disney Consumer Products and Interactive Media for an action-packed line of ski performance products inspired by iconic Marvel superheroes. At the FIS Alpine World Cup Championship in St. Moritz, the U.S. ski team will be outfitted in racers donning Marvel's Captain America and Captain Marvel, two iconic superheroes that embody the strength and amazing abilities demonstrated by both elite athletes and Marvel superheroes. The U.S. ski team athletes who will be wearing the race suits include World Cup skier Jared Goldberg, four-time Olympic medalist Julia Mancuso, and Olympic gold medalist Michaela Schifrin. Brady Collins, the vice president of marketing and Spider and Global Brands Group Holding Limited, says, "We're thrilled to be working with Marvel and bringing the superheroes to life with the U.S. ski team and beyond. Given Marvel's inspirational impact around the world, we have an extraordinary opportunity to celebrate the U.S. ski team as well as our ambassadors in a broad-reaching way in St. Moritz. The collaboration consists of performance race suits and ski wear that will be worn by the men and women of the U.S. ski team, who will premiere the line at the Alpine World Cup Champions in St. Moritz, Switzerland, February the 6th to 19th. Oh, it's going on now. All right, so I guess we're going to tie it to ESPN sometime. The full apparel of performance collection is set to make its retail debut in fall 2017. More information in the release in the coming months. Organic collaborations are increasingly important to build brand equity. We feel this particular one is a natural fit. Note Natasha Fishman, the EVP of Marketing Authentic Brands Group, owner of the Spider brand. Having these world-class athletes showcase the new lines exemplifying Spider's brand essence in an authentic way. Pairing the world's greatest athletes with skiing with the Marvel's uniform exemplifies the spirit of strength, power, and perseverance with the U.S. ski team, and our superheroes represent, said Paul Gitter, Senior Vice President, Licensing Marvel at Disney. We are looking forward to outfitting the U.S. ski team with the high-quality gear so they can showcase their heroic style just like a Marvel superhero. And, yes, I will put up the link.
Thank you. And that was my first and only question I had for this. Awesome. Oh, Rook is Captain America.
Of course, we all know there's going to be a 1% crowd that will be complaining. Are you kidding me? You're going to be hiding an undercover Hydra agent.
Yes.
You could not go with Spider-Man. Spider-Man has not done
that. And Spider-Man.
You know it's going to happen.
And there'll be Wolverine. And there will be, you know.
No, it cannot be Wolverine. Wolverine is Canadian.
Oh, that's right. Colossus is Russian. Well, the picture here, they're all just like Captain America. And one's dressed as Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said Spidey. You can't go wrong with Spidey.
That's true.
Now, you will note on that article, the first picture that you see is the Punisher.
Is the Punisher. Keys. And he's shooting somebody. What the hell? What the hell? Holy shit.
Now, you tell me, one of the skiers behind them, does that look like Doctor Strange?
In the blue right there?
Yeah.
A little bit. That's funny, though.
And the third one.
Oh, and I do want to say, today, the Lego Batman movie came out. I forgot to tell everybody last week about that. Well, if you listen to the after party, I went, oh, I forgot to mention the Lego Batman movie comes out next week, which is today. Unfortunately, I will not be going to see it until the snow goes away. So maybe during the week next week or hopefully next weekend. But for now, I ain't going nowhere this weekend.
But unless you live in Long Island and you have some huskies and a sled, then Pogo Man can go.
Yeah, that's right.
Mush,
I say. Yeah. Get
rest.
Along, little doggy.
Rest.
Get along.
Rest.
Yeah, get me there. Mush. Hurry. Oatmeal. Oatmeal, I say. Why aren't they moving? I hate mush. I want oatmeal. Mush. Pogo, why do you have a little teacup Maltese? It's the only puppy I own. She's not moving. She's getting pissed at you. Well,
it's like most of the puppy is going like, really?
She's just sitting there. Great. Yeah, as soon as I said mush, she just hopped on top of the thing and just fled. And she went, are you kidding me? She just looked like, really? You can pull me. You can pull me, moron.
Well, I am on the rare time when I'm on P-Chat with you, on Paragon Chat.
Yes. And who's next to us? I see part of a circle. Who's that? Red Everlasting. Hello, Red Everlasting. I don't know if she can hear us. Let's see, maybe. We had a whole group here before with us. And then like 10 minutes before the show started, everybody disappeared.
They did acknowledge, you know, they liked your show.
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah, we're so happy you're doing the show, but sorry, we can't say. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, maybe they will listen to the rebroadcast with the after party at Dawn Radio at vtxemu.com/dawnradio. Cheap pop.
Ooh, cheap pop. Thank you, Mick Foley. And since we're talking about cheap pops and Mick Foley, I don't know what you guys are doing. Oh, wait a minute. A couple things for Sunday night. If you like pro wrestling, Sunday night is WWE's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. If you're not, or you just like zombies, don't forget The Walking Dead returns. So I'll be DVRing that and watching that as soon as the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is over. Yes. And King Ezekiel they introduced his character this season. I can't remember the actor's name, damn it, but he is played by the actor who does the voice of Cyborg in Teen Titans Go or the Teen Titans cartoon.
Okay.
And also in Justice League Action, he does the voice of Cyborg there as well. Mm-hmm. So anytime you see Cyborg on any of the cartoons on Cartoon Network, that's him. That's the actor.
We did have a passing away of someone in the sci-fi, but there was a comic book from the series. Richard Hatch, best known the original Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, my God, the original Apollo. Yes, and he had a comic book series. Oh, God, I don't know how many years ago. Was that to be about 10 years ago, 12 years ago? I met him at Icon, sci-fi convention held in my area, which I can mention now. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. It's coming back this year at a different college. It's coming back.
I remember you mentioning it. Yep, I remember you mentioning
it. It's coming back. My nephew's going to that college now. For those people who listen in the Long Island or the area who have gone to Icon conventions in the past, it's coming back. The last one they held was number 31. Pardon my language. I didn't go to the last one they had. I did go to number 30. Number 31 was, pardon my language, a clusterfuck. Normally it was at Stony Brook University. It was this last one they did. It was held at Suffolk Community in Selden. And then it was held there and two hotels. And basically at the Suffolk Community College, the only thing that was there was registration in the dealer's room. And then the two hotels, they had the panels and autographing. And they said that was a major clusterfuck, because normally you would figure one hotel would have an entire track. Like, let's say, like, me and Mad Viking went for the comic book stuff, you know, stuff for the show, for example. Now, you'd figure one hotel would have everything for the comic book track. No, they split it up between the two hotels. Let's say there was a 10 a.m. panel, okay? Well, great. They'd have a 10 a.m. panel at one hotel. The 11 o'clock panel would be at the other hotel. Why? I have no idea. Maybe because they want to split it up between hotels, which I don't know. Maybe they just want to split it up, you know, give equal time to both hotels. Which really doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why they did that. But they did that, and people just complained. It was just a royal clusterfuck, if I heard my language again. And so now this time, it is going to be exclusively at, after all these years, it's going to be exclusively at Suffolk Community in Selden. And they're going to have the two hotels. They're going to have shuttles running from those colleges. And I think the website is iconsf.org. Let me double check that. I'll post the link if I'm right about this one. I'm just typing it in off the top of my head. Oh, okay. It's blog.iconsf.org. Huh. Well, all right. I'll share that here if anybody wants to check that out. And of course, as always, I will share that with the page there. Let me see if I can find it again now. Got too many things open here. Let me see if I can see what guests are hanging out this so far. Because I know last week they only had a handful of guests.
That sounds familiar.
What? A handful of guests? Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, really. Oh, it looks like they're adding more, but I have no idea who these people are. Let's see. Comics, Christopher Golden? Never heard of him. James A. Moore? Okay, this
now
is
remember.
James...
All right, maybe hitting the mute button. so far, it's okay.
James A. Moore is a novelist. He's not even a comic book guy. So why? Wow. Okay, so the two guys they have. Uh oh, it's okay. I'll have to check this out because it looks like the two comic guys I have aren't big comic book guys. And that's the problem I had with Icon the last time I went. Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's like the guy who started helping out Icon, the guy who knew all the comic book guys, he introduced himself to the guy who was running Icon. He's like, yeah, and what do I need you for? He goes, well, fine. And he stopped talking to him about the comic book guys. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, we're all the comic book guests. We used to have really cool comic book guests show up, and all of a sudden, there was nothing. And then meanwhile, like last year, I went to Eternal Con. I mentioned that, and there were a couple of cool comic book guests. Well,
yep, those are the puppies.
Yeah, I hear them. I'm just trying to see.
The territory of the couch.
I'm just trying to see. They don't have anything like
that. And my Mountain Dew. No, you can't have my Mountain Dew. That's all I need is a puppy on a Mountain Dew rush. Is that, can we say the canine version of Speedy Gonzales?
They have nothing listed for like what events they're going to have. I might not be going this year.
Well, give it time.
Why.
I mean,
I know.
With me,
I know.
Remember, well, I know a thing about with Comic Con situations. With Dawn Con 3, the adventure continues coming up.
Yes, yes. Well, the dates for this one are March 17th, 18th, and 19th. I'm sorry, I said Selden. It's in Brentwood. I'm sorry, it's in Brentwood. So, if you're a student at the university, it's only $48 for the weekend. Right now, it's $57 for the 3 days, which isn't bad because I can't. The last time I went was back in, I think, 2007. I think it was the last time I went. So it's like almost, oh my God, it's been 10. That's how long it's been. It's been like 10 years. It was either 2007, 2008 I went. And it's still the same price, $57. So that's not bad.
Huh?
I mean, these days compared to... I'm surprised they're even doing it this year, so...
Ah, we have detente in the house. Okay.
Oh, we have somebody... Okay. Okay, I'm going to close this up. Let me see if I can close this up. Okay. Enough of that silliness. Still too early to call. Okay, who do we have with us?
No, I was saying we have detente in the house with the animals.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, enough of that. Let's get back on track, shall we?
All right. Now, like I said, I'm on Paragon Chat, and I noticed something when I signed on, and me and Pogo played with it a little bit. Friend. As long as you're in the zone, you can zap your friend from one area to the other.
Whee!
And the teleport is also back.
Yeah, that's right. Teleport power. Now, it says here, where is it? Energy flight is supposed to be available.
It's available.
Oh, it is there? Because on mine, it's not available. Oh,
it's
there it goes.
Faded out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Keldian flight.
Oh, okay.
Because those who don't know Mad Viking on City of Heroes, they may remember the other tune because I was one of the last captains of Hero Dawn, Ionia Titan.
Ah, there you go. Yes, and I had a Keldian named Pogo Saiyan, or saying pogo. I can't remember. There was a story behind that. I actually had a story about that. A Keldian fell to Earth, and he needed a human body host, so he temporarily used a pogo man's body for a while.
Oh, I heard somebody. We are joined by Snaptooth.
Hello, Snaptooth. We have a Snaptooth. What's this? Hello.
A little short. He's a little short.
And he's holding him. He's short for a Snaptooth, but he's holding a torch with us. Hello. No, I done seen everything. Yes, we have a Snaptooth holding a torch with us. And...
Well, at least it's, hey, it's Snaptooth. It's not Baby New Year.
That's true.
I still say that it was the ugliest Baby New Year of all time.
God. Then they kind of made it look like the Baby New Year from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special.
Nope. We had a rough version of Baby Herman.
Oh,
I still say that it was smoking a cigar. That's why I bought a Baby Herman. It looked like it was smoking a cigar.
No, it was Finster Baby. It was Finster Baby from Bugs Bunny. Oh, Finster Baby.
I want to eat the egg. I want to eat the egg. I want to eat the egg.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay. I was thinking the one where he... Go away. I was thinking the one where he goes, no, you're supposed to use the book, and he spanks her with the book at the end. Or him at the end.
Well, there's a few of them. So much to choose.
So many babies they could have chosen. That's the one they went with. Good Lord. His arms are too muscular for a baby, too. Did you notice that?
That's why I said Baby Herman. Like I said, it looked like it was smoking a stogie.
Yeah. Wow.
A half burnt out stogie too. At that, it was like he's been waiting for a while. Come on, yeah, you gotta rescue me. Let's get going. It's like,
what took you? Now see. That time you got me. Nah.
All right, that's Rocky. Where's he hiding?
Give him the left, see? Yeah.
He's not in the stove. Oh, so he's in the stove, is he?
Wait, who had him captured? What was his name? Snaptooth? No.
It was of the Snaptooth variety.
Yeah, see? The heroes come to rescue me. You won't keep me for that long, see? They're going to come here and they're going to beat you up, see? Yeah.
But, yep, we are joined with Snaptooth. Meanwhile, over on Champions, I'm not on it, but right now Ghost Captain is doing his show in the blimp. And looks like he's got a few people, so hey, great. Hopefully, after you listen to this on the rebroadcast, you'll be listening to Black Magic on Sunday. There we go.
Cool. See, it all ties together.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the All Star game going to be happening on this Sunday? See if we can.
What
All Star
game? What All Star game?
You know the NFL.
The Pro Bowl?
Yeah,
the Pro Bowl. No, there that happens go. The week before the Super. That hell happens the week before the Super Bowl.
Okay. Wanted to make sure.
They
I was just going like.
You do that the week during the bye week. They put a bye week in for this Super Bowl. This way, the Super Bowl could happen in February now. I remember when, like, the game was done in January. You know,
yep.
I remember, like it was unheard of to have the game anywhere near February. Like, the last week in January, holy cow. Now it's like, do we stretch this out to maybe the middle of February? Like, oh, my God.
And the year after that, Can we stretch it out to like June?
Yeah, it's like, let's see, the draft is in March. Hey, I know what, we could add a second bye week for all the teams. Oh my God. Can we just end the season? I remember when the regular season was over the week before Christmas. Easily. The regular season was over. This year, fantasy football championship games were like the week before the season was over. We're on Christmas Day, that Christmas weekend. I said, good Lord.
Oh, and the word of the week during that time period was Smunday. The latter part of Sunday, when one day one is busy working to be ready for Monday.
Yes.
I can deal with it. Like, I got the Urban Dictionary comp there. Smunday is a very taxing period of time. It usually involves no sleep the night between Sunday and Monday. It involves large amounts of caffeine intake, more relevant to business executives and students. So, yeah, that's all we saw was Smunday.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're here, I do want to bring up this news about Captain America in the comic books.
Right.
There's a Captain America event coming up in Marvel, something called Marvel's Secret Empire event. Have you heard about it?
They showed a hint of it in the Civil War, The Oath.
Okay, I haven't read that. And I'm way behind on Captain America reading, but it looks so interesting. We could bring it up here. I'll read this article. It came out today, as a matter of fact, in Superhero Hype. Here, let me drop a copy. Let me give you the link here. And for those who are listening who haven't yet, if you go to Facebook and you type in Paragon Radio, we do have a Facebook page. If you go there, click like. You can keep up to date on all the happenings with Paragon Radio the Thursday night. Fortunately, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to do it earlier in the evening, but somehow it's always about midnight, the night before the show. I post the link for the Friday night show. But right now, I want to thank everybody. We are now officially up to 330 likes on the page. So thank you all. Slowly but surely, we are climbing up there. We're getting up there.
And,
okay, so
Paragon Dawn is still at 68.
Slowly but surely, you're getting up there. It's getting
very
up there.
Slowly.
Hey. You know, when we were Safe CUH Radio, it took us forever to get up there, too. Once we change the name, man, we're getting up there. Anyway. All right, I'm going to read this article. Okay, though they've been teasing the upcoming storyline for some time, Marvel Entertainment has revealed the first official details on the upcoming Secret Empire event, which puts Captain America at the forefront. Now, there might be some spoilers here. I'm going to have to read this sometime this weekend, catch up on the Captain America stuff. Okay, written by Nick Spencer with art by Steve McNiven. The series will spin out of the current Captain America Steve Rogers series, where it was revealed that the character's history has been altered and he has secretly been an agent of Hydra all this time. What? Steve has been kind of lining his dominoes up around the Marvel Universe to be able to make his move and bring about a Hydra revolution, a takeover. Senior Vice President Tom Brevoort told ABC News, "At the point of Secret Empire, they are ready to go. That's the moment we hit as we go in." Brevoort goes on to describe the series, issue number 0, out in April, as the worst day of the Marvel Universe, and revealing by the first issue of the event, the entire Marvel Universe knows who Steve Rogers really is. "We've just come off of Civil War II and Inhumans vs. X-Men, two big dark events that had heroes fighting against heroes over somewhat defensible positions. This is very much more an old-school story. You will know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. This is not heroes fighting heroes. This is heroes fighting a bad guy. Editor-in-Chief Alex, I'm sorry, Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso added, "We saw this moment as our chance to rally the entire Marvel Universe, which has been fragmented of late. Secret Empire number one will debut this May. Will you be picking up the series? Will you? Well?"
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Okay. What do you think?
Well, like I said, to get an early start of what's going on, read Civil War, The Oath.
The Oath? Okay.
The Oath.
The Oath. Okay. I didn't pick that up.
Oh.
I'll have to go see it.
I almost forgot. Now,
O-A-T-H,
we discussed about...
The Oath.
Yep. Now, we talked about the diversity situation of Marvel to a grand scale of social justice versus canonism. It looks like the first step of canonism is winning because they announced that because X-Men Gold, the new X-Men Gold, is going to be treating the X-Men more of superheroes than of mutants who were victims and just and all that. Basically, they want to keep bring back some of the lightheartedness as well as the superhero champion feeling. That was known during the 70s and the 80s that made it all popular.
That's what I was saying. They got to bring them back as heroes, not just survival, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, because I've said the last almost 5 years, that's all they've been doing. Like, if you go back, and that's all they've been, it's like the survival of the mutant race. That's all, actually, longer than that. Ever since Scarlet Witch said, no more mutants. That's all it's been. It's been, they've been fighting for the survival. They've been, it's all been, it's been about their survival. It hasn't even been, like, every time, even every enemy they fought, it's about their extinction. That's all they've been fighting. It's like, oh my God, can they just get back to being heroes? Oh, can we please just get back and fighting a villain for the sake of them being heroes again? Good. I'm glad. I am so happy. When I said Resurrection, I'm like, please, can we just get back on fighting a villain for the sake of being a villain? Can we just get fighting a villain for the sake of being a hero? You know what I mean? Can we just get back to that?
And on YouTube, of course, you're going to see all the situations of views here. Those who are really into comic books are going, thank freaking God. And social justice warriors are going, no, you can't do that. It's like, okay, not every superhero is Batman, okay? Batman's got the grit, owns it, it's there. Give the others back their personalities. We want peace going, oh, my stars and garters.
Yes.
We want
we want Nightcrawler to be Fuzzy Elf again, okay? We want Colossus to go, bonjour, or whatever he says. You know what I mean? Yeah, certain things we fell in love with the X-Men because they were heroes. And certain things were funny because they were a family. They're not these heroes fighting for their existence. Oh, yes, certain once in a while there'll be someone on the brink of death, and you have to save them. But in the same time, yes, you know, oh, and who the hell's idea was to make Cyclops a villain? What the hell?
I think what they were trying to do was a case of, you know, everyone – turned against Cyclops and went to Wolverine because Wolverine was on the edge and cutting and all that. So they tried to do the Cyclops.
But that wasn't Cyclops. Cyclops, oh, man.
Basically, everyone was quoting Wolverine from the X-Men movie. You're a dick.
Right. You can't, and then...
you point out, it would be like the New Day in wrestling. Those three just cannot be heels. Nope. They can't. They can try.
Right. But they made Cyclops a heel and for all the wrong reasons.
You know, they even went so far before you saw T-shirts, Magneto was right.
They had Cyclops was right. And we're going,
I know.
No.
Yes. He was, but not for the reasons.
But like I said.
No, once he killed Professor X, no, Cyclops is wrong. I'm sorry. Once he crossed that line, no, he's not right. No, he's wrong.
Okay, even Magneto didn't do that. Magneto's
right,
going like,
he's
going like,
once,
it's like his temper got close, but it never got to that point.
And once you get Magneto's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? I never did that. What the hell are you doing?
So,
like the time Magneto ripped out the adamantium Wolverine goes, dude, I did that. And I thought, and after I did that, he's like, what the hell was I thinking? Jesus Christ.
And the thing, you know, he knew Wolverine was going to live. He was going to be in extreme pain, but he was going to live.
Yes.
And detente has ended.
And what happened? Uh-oh.
Yeah, the puppies again.
You know, like, okay, he had the Phoenix Force inside him, and maybe it was the Phoenix Force that kind of did it, but still, there's just certain things you don't.
Well, it looks like the experimentation of social justice in Marvel
is over.
Oh,
hello.
I had the screen refreshed on me.
Oh,
so I had to quickly turn off the replay. But
okay, so the social—you were saying the social something of Marvel is. Say that again, please.
No, that was the replay again.
Okay.
All right, now I got the volume off. Good.
Okay.
It looks like the social justice warriors, in the views of comic book fans, have took their first step in losing.
Good. Because, look, man, I read comic books to be entertained. If I want a social message, I put the news on. Okay? I read comic books for lighthearted entertainment, to escape reality. Okay?
Well, now there are some comic books that introduced it, but they did it well.
Yes.
The best case example was Iron Man, Demon in a Bottle.
Yes. Like, sometimes you could do it, but not every issue, okay? Not every issue for 10 years has to do it. Like, all right, like Spider-Man. With great responsibility, with great power comes great responsibility. I don't need to be reminded of that every issue. Okay? And they didn't do it every issue for all these years. But it seems for a while Marvel had to do that every issue, almost every page, almost every time Spider-Man opened his mouth. I don't need to be reminded of that every time.
Well, it looks like with X-Men Gold, they're going like, okay, we tried it. Our sales went right down the toilet. And, I mean, a couple of people noticed. So, yeah, they, you know, at a time period, Marvel was riding high, but because of Civil War. Civil War ended. Then sales went right into the toilet.
Right. Where are you reading this about X-Men Gold?
Oh. It was on Newsarama. It was an older article. I just remembered it. Trying to find it.
No problem.
Basically, when, like I said, when my nephew comes in and the dogs start barking, I will go into full tilt hunt for the article in question, and then I will post it.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Oh, and I don't know if you watched it this week, but this past Wednesday night, Legion premiered on FX, and it's going to be an 8-issue series. It was 90 minutes long. It was pretty good. I think some people said that it left them confused. I was fine with it, you know.
Well, it's Legion. Yeah, we're talking about four or five different personalities running in that head.
Right. Right, but it wasn't that. It was just what was going on. Like, they couldn't figure out what was reality, what wasn't. Just because, like, what he was viewing and, you know. So I think, you know, these are some people who are watching who don't know who Legion was or is, so. You know, this is just them, so.
Yep.
What is this? Huh. Okay, news report. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 test screening scores Marvel Studios' highest rating ever.
Yeah, I did read that.
I just saw it. According to a Hollywood Reporter, Guardians Volume 2 has been the high 90s scores of Iron Man 3 and Avengers by landing a perfect 100 rating from its test screenings. The 100 rating does come with a caveat. Marvel screening process is reportedly considered less random than the practices of other studios. So, under the scrutiny of a different studio's process, it might not have scored as high. Oh. THR cites experts warning against placing any weight in a test rating, saying that a rating is not a guarantee of a film's performance. Many successful films, including major box office hits such as Pretty Woman and Oscar-winner Black Swan, tested much lower in the 70s and 50s, respectively. Likewise, well-rated films have performed more poorly than expected, while some films don't have test screenings at all. Still, the score makes Guardians Volume 2 Marvel's best-tested film ever. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is due out in theaters May 5th. And his comment down below, LOL, who do they pay?
Of course, oh yeah, and that we'll see. Not my comic book. The Russians hacked it.
That's right. Hashtag, that's right. I think that's what we're going to see from now on. Hashtag.
No. Wait. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy. The Skrull hacked it.
That's right. Hashtag, not my comic book. Hashtag, the Russians hacked the screening. Good Lord. All right.
Okay, well, we're coming up to the 1 hour mark. Let's get right into it. It's time for updates. All right.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I guess we're going to knock on wood and say, okay, we're doing okay so far.
We're doing okay so far.
All right. Okay. So in that case, hang on. Let me just post the link so you guys can follow along. Just give me a second. Just posting everything. All righty. What do I do with it? Okay. Here we go. This is Heroes and Villains update number 218. This week, we've been doing some more design work on the way that players travel between zones. This time, focusing on the concept of fast travel and how its presentation is affected by the structure of the zones and the types of travel powers available to players. The major problem that City of Heroes had with its fast travel options and travel powers was the clash between the expectations created by its comic book setting and the reality of the game mechanics and zone design. Players were given access to classic comic book travel powers such as flight and super speed, but then confronted with the reality that the portals to the other zones, whether disguised as trains, helicopters, or ferries, were actually faster than what were supposed to be superpower travel methods. This was especially noticeable in zones with two train stations, such as Steel Canyon or Skyway City, where what was basically a local commuter train service was clearly shown to be faster than speedsters or flyers, with players completing their journey between the north and south stations before superpowered players had even gotten halfway covering the same distance using their travel powers. This situation was even worse in the three Praetorian city zones, as the lack of war walls meant that players could see further, which only helped to emphasize just how much faster the fast travel system was when compared to the travel powers, which is the challenge that we're currently facing with the open world nature of Titan City's design, and how to make superpower travel feel super when compared to a fast travel system. Have a heroic film this weekend, the heroes and villains team. I wholeheartedly concur with this. I always felt less super when taking the train. I'm like, huh, here I am. My character's built for speed. I get super speed for sleep. I travel really fast, but here I am. I'm taking the local subway system, the local train system. I'm going to get there 100 times faster.
Well, if it was New York City, then we would need superheroes in the subway system.
Yes, to help protect people from not traveling. You know, it's just like, do-do-do-do-do. here we are, me and you taking the train, and people are like, really? Really? You're superheroes, and you got to take the train? What, you guys can't travel fast enough on your own? Shut up.
We got a free pass. Come on.
We have unlimited passes. It goes with the territory. It's part of the perks. I always wondered about that, too. It's like, what? I can't go fast in this train? Faster than the speeding bullet, but not faster than the local train. Damn it. I don't know. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, also you remember with City of Heroes, you had also, if you didn't take the train, you also then had to go through the tunnel.
Right.
Now, I was kind of waiting if you were going through the tunnel, you know, like a mini game inside, you know, there's, you know, violence in the tunnel. Let's go and fight something in the midst of it. Nope, that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, like a boss battle in the tunnel to force you to take the train.
Hold on, wait,
guys. If we go through the tunnel, there's always that big boss battle. You know what I don't get is this: there's a big boss down there. He never bothers the civilians in the cars. But if us heroes show up, then he wants to kick our ass. What the hell?
And yet, not one car is destroyed.
Exactly my point. Exactly. What the hell is this bullshit?
Now, mind you, on Champions, the cars can be picked up and thrown.
While people are driving them.
That has a family in the car. Added weight will crush them.
That's right. Well, that's what you get for driving. Should have got out. You saw the heroes fighting the villain. You should have got out of your car. Turned around. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. So what's your take on that? What's your take on it?
Like I said, just remember all the tunneling and the taking the train. Now champions they have the jet, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
I always thought that was a supersonic jet that go like Mach 10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just my It's like a way faster than people could fly. Okay, so we do have something this week from City of Titans.
It's all pretty. I get to do my Captain Orbit voice.
No. It's not Captain Orbit this week. It's not from the Orbit Room. It is Tales from the Underworld, the TCPD versus the Underworld. Posted by from Shadow Elusive. Let me see if I can read. All right, it's a story. All right, let me see if I can read this. Let me do my best here. I haven't read it yet, so. Hold on. Let me take a drink here. All right. Let me do my best here. Drop the gun, the lady cop screamed. The world slowed down as Castellucci prepared to fire, as he prepared to face the bullet himself. He felt as if he exhaled for a solid minute as he prepared to squeeze the trigger, and he watched the cop do the same. He took in dozens of small details. A bead of sweat running down the woman's forehead, her short, bitten nails, the nameplate on her uniform shirt that read Aurelia. He heard a crash of glass behind him, even as he called himself an idiot for doing it. He started to glance over his shoulder. He looked back at the woman, Aurelia, but it was too late. He heard the rasp of another pistol being drawn from a pistol being drawn from a police holster. The rattle of handcuffs on a belt. The TCPD had sent backup.
Aurelia, all right, I'm going on mute.
Okay, and smiled thinly past Castellucci at whoever had come in the motel room's bathroom window. "You're surrounded, Castellucci," she said. "Drop the gun." Castellucci bit back a curse and raised his hands. "Aurelia, look out," shouted a deep voice from behind him. Before he could react, a gunshot banged in the small room. Pain erupted just below his right shoulder. Castellucci dropped his gun. He cursed involuntarily. He felt warmth spreading through his shirt. He looked down to see a spreading red stain on his upper sleeve. "I've been shot!" He fell to his knees, more in surprise than in pain. "What the hell?" shouted Aurelia. "Why did you do that?" She placed her gun on the dresser, cuffed Castellucci's hands behind his back, wadded up his jacket and pressed it against his wound. He was surrendering. "Call the paramedics, now!" The other cop, Castellucci figured it had to be a cop, paused a moment before answering. "He was getting ready to shoot," he said. "He would have killed you." Castellucci felt the first tingles of pain breaking through his shock. "It's just a scratch," he told himself. He shut his eyes and bit his lip, concentrating. Something about the male cop's voice nagged at him. "And you could have killed him," Aurelia said. "This is the Dark Age. What's your name? What are you doing here anyway?" "I'm your backup," he said. "Your friend Alvarez sent me." She shook her head. "Get on the radio and call for medical attention. Now." Castellucci heard the click on the man's radio. "Shots fired at the High Point corner, South Point," said the man. "Castellucci has energy weapons and cybernetics." His voice assumed an edge of hysteria. "What the?" Aurelia dropped Castellucci's jacket and went for a gun again. But it was too far away. "Officer Aurelia is down. Repeat, officer down." He dropped the radio. Castellucci turned around. The male cop wore body armor like Aurelia's, a ball cap and mirror glasses, and he was aiming his pistol at Aurelia. "If he hadn't bothered with those shades, I might not have recognized him," Castellucci thought. He'd last seen the man wearing a similar mirrored visor in an armored costume, crouching in the shadows, watching him. Arbalest. Fighting the pain in his shoulder, Castellucci thrashed back. He winced as the motion tore at the wound in his shoulder. Off balance, Arbalest fired wild into the ceiling. An afterimage of the fireball burned green in Castellucci's vision. "Get him, lady," he said through gritted teeth. "He's that super kill, Arbalest." Aurelia didn't waste words. She sprang past him and drew her baton. She brought it down in Arbalest's hands. Castellucci heard bones crack as Arbalest dropped the gun. Arbalest punched Aurelia in the jaw, but he was too close to put much power behind the blow. Aurelia stepped closer, stomping down on his instep. Arbalest seized her and flipped her into the bed with some kind of fancy martial arts move. Aurelia rolled out of the way of his follow-up and punched him square in the jaw. Castellucci watched, impressed in spite of himself. He'd seen five dragons martial artists hop around like crazed squirrels and younger Black Rose punch through wallboard with cybernetics, but he'd never seen two trained combatants fight like this. They tried to grapple, but evaded each hold. They traded blow after blow. They usually dodged, but a few strikes connected with brutal sounding crunches. That was intimidating enough, but the eeriest thing for Castellucci was how each fought in complete silence. He'd gone up against half a dozen different underworld factions and more capes and black masks than he could remember in his years with the Black Rose. Every single one of them had shouted out slogans and battle cries and flourishes. Heck, he thought, even that mute super I fought back in 97 was flashier than this. Those two were professionals. They knew this was a fight to the death and took it as seriously as it deserved. Castellucci just wished he knew who to root for. He stayed flat on the floor, as far out of the way as he could. Blue and red lights flashed through the darkened room's windows. TCPT, Francis X. Castellucci, shouted a megaphone amplified voice. The building is surrounded. Come out with your hands up. Glancing out the door past his feet, Castellucci saw two squad cars and at least half a dozen cops, all with guns drawn and pointed toward the dark room. "Back off," shouted a new voice, also outside. Castellucci vaguely recalled a face to match it, one of Father Amurda's bodyguards. "He's a traitor to the Black Rose. He belongs to us. Clear out, and we won't hurt you." Castellucci peered outside, forgetting Aurelia and Arbalest for a moment. Now that he knew to look for them, he spotted at least 10 picked Black Rose men in the shadows around the parking lot. He recognized them all, every one packed cybernetically enhanced muscles and energy weapons. "Oh, nuts," he muttered. Arbalest shouted, "I ain't giving up. Come and get me." He scrambled for Castellucci's gun. Aurelia wrapped her hands around his and held it away, pointed at the ceiling. Arbalest fired anyway. "He's shooting! Fire!" shouted one of the cops outside. Gunshots ripped through the night. Seconds later, the gangster's energy weapons unleashed blasts of heat and light. The window shattered. An energy blast scorched the open door black. As Castellucci watched, the cops and Black Rose turned on each other. They took cover behind cars and benches, taking pot shots at each other. A cop screamed into a radio for reinforcements. A wild energy beam struck a car's gas tank, setting it ablaze with a whoosh of flames. Two SWAT troopers struggled to pin a super strong gangster's arms. He flung them aside. He took a shot to the chest and crumpled, dripping blood and some kind of super science goop. The lot had become a war zone. Arbalest and the cops, still struggling to turn the gun on each other, threw themselves to the floor alongside Castellucci. Arbalest kicked Aurelia away, tore the gun from her grip, and drew a bead on her. Without even thinking, Castellucci rolled against him, throwing off his aim. The gunshot echoed loudly in the room, even over the firefight outside. Aurelia collapsed. Castellucci kicked the villain in the back of the knee before he could move. Arbalest sprawled to the floor. Castellucci kicked him again, then again, smashing his head against the solid wood veneer of the dresser. He kept kicking until blood started flowing from Arbalest's scalp. "Jeez," he panted. Gunshots and beam blasts still banged and roared outside. Arbalest's chest still heaved out. But Castellucci had neither the time nor the raw power he needed to take care of the villain permanently. He just hoped he didn't wake up. "Castellucci," said Aurelia weakly. Castellucci crawled over to her. He winced. He had been shot enough times over the years to realize his own wound was little more than a painful, bloody scratch. But Aurelia's was much, much worse. She'd been hit in the upper chest. The wound looked just barely high enough to miss the vital organs. But he couldn't be sure. "Give yourself up, and they'll..." She slumped on her back and shut her eyes. "They'll fill me full of holes, is what they'll do." He gritted his teeth against the pain of his own wound. "Is your people or mine? They think I started that fight out there now," he said. "Unlock these cuffs, and I'll get going." "And," she gasped for breath, "and get hunted down for shooting cops. Or worse, your own people." Castellucci frowned. She was right. He needed to escape, especially the Black Rose won the battle outside. But he also needed to be able to clear his name. And for that, he needed this woman, alive. "Nuts," he said. "I guess I have to take you with me." "No," she said woozily. "None unless you do something for me." He glared at her, then glanced out the door. The Black Rose had cornered the remaining TCPD officers. They could be storming the motel room any minute. "Oh, for crying out loud," he said. "Fine, what's your price?" She opened her eyes and stared at him hard and intense. To his surprise, Castellucci flinched away from that steady gaze. "You have connections," she said. "You find Topaz for me. He's the key to this whole..." Her eyes rolled back, and she passed out. Castellucci finally spotted the handcuff key on her belt. With some wriggling, he unlocked it. He scrambled to his hands and knees. For a moment, he was tempted to take his chances with letting the sole witness to his innocence here die. But she mentioned Topaz, the cape, who supposedly killed that detective Aragon. It always came back to that murder in Ironport. Find the killer there, Castellucci thought, and maybe you could get your wife back. To do that, you need her. "You owe me for this big time, lady," he said. He hefted her over his uninjured shoulder. He bit down on a yelp of pain. She was more solid than she looked, and he must have been more injured than he thought. As he stumbled, made for the open window, Arbalest had used the slip in the back. He pondered his next move. Aurelia needed medical attention, but he couldn't risk a hospital, and his regular underworld haunts were out of the question. With the Black Rose and its allies hunting for him, he had to go to ground, somewhere he could get healing, somewhere no one would notice him or expect him in a million years. Oh, nuts, he said again. I'm going to have to go see the Five Dragons. Next time, tea and sorcery. And that was your update this week from the City of Titans. Tales from the Underworld, the TCPD versus the Underworld.
Now, when you get when you get lores like that, it's like it sounds like they're kind of like giving a hint of the storyline of certain stuff on it already.
Yes. I apologize for my choppy reading there. I didn't read that. I didn't read that ahead of time, so I was just reading on the fly.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, build up a little history, but that sounded like a whole segment that your character will be running.
Yeah, that does, because you got, where is it? Let's see, because you got the TCPT, the Underworld, you got this guy Arbalest, they mentioned the, where is it? You mentioned the Five Dragons. You mentioned Telpaz. I wonder if we're going to meet him, the Black Rose. And I think we've mentioned them. The Five Dragons. A couple weeks ago, I read something about the Five Dragons,
right.
That group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm going. Like, when you get to those lores, it sounds like, you know, it's like you're kind of giving away the missions.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know, that's just, you know, that's my opinion on that one. I mean, at least when we did the orbit room, you got a sense like, okay, this is going to be a location. I want to do the voice of Captain Orbit.
These Five Dragons don't sound like nice people. I don't know. Will they be invited to the orbit room?
But you get what I'm saying. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, build up a little lore, but don't give it all away at once.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact here, if you look up on that page under Cape Chaser, the page I read about the Five Dragons the last time. Yep, there it is. It's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Now I just got to post the link.
And I did post the link.
You did the Heroes and Villains one, but you didn't do the other one.
Oh, no. Huh. I thought I did post. I thought I posted that one. I'm sorry. I posted that one before I read. I would have posted that for you guys to read along with. Oops. I'm sorry. Should have reminded me. I would have posted it before. Oops. There you go.
Well, you know, you can always go to the Facebook page to get to the link on that one.
Yeah, I posted that already. I just posted it now. Okay, there you guys go. It's right there. I'm sorry. If you want to listen to the replay, you can post. You can click the link there. And you can read, you know, you can read along with me and see how I screwed up. Remember, I didn't read ahead of time to, you know, rehearse that. That was a cold read for me.
You know, that's the only thing I can see, you know, what's happening. It's like it's doing the setup for the first few runs that you do.
Yes.
And if it's word for word, I'm going like, those who read it are going to go, wait a minute. I know this. And you hope that it's not like, which one was it? It's a choose your own adventure style situation where you can make your choice.
I used to love those books.
But you get what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Because if they do that, I'm going like, all you got to do is just read these things. Hey, easy through.
Yeah. quite right. Quite right indeed, sir. So, I was watching. Did you catch Powerless this week yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, it was something neat last night. They were doing a fantasy league based on superheroes. I thought that was pretty cool. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. We got about 9 minutes, and I won't be able to join you in the after party tonight.
It's all right. We don't always have to do an after party. We could, you know, we could just end it quick. So. I'm not doing an after party by myself, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I could do continue.
I did find one more article that, once again, we're dealing with the social justice issue situation. I'll let you read it.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hit me with
it. You know, I'm trying to.
That was only two paragraphs. I only got 9 minutes left. I don't want to have to read a.
Okay. Well, you can look at the title and you'll get the idea on that situation.
Huh? All right. Hold on. All right. Let me just. Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, I think I might have an idea what they're talking about here. Heavens to Murgatroyd. Yes, I do. All right. Preview. This is from News Around. Preview. Snagglepuss goes to Washington as gay Southern Gothic playwright. All right. DC Comics have released a one-page preview of the upcoming Snagglepuss story from March 29th, Suicide Squad / Banana Splits Annual. Oh, my God. Writer Mark Russell revealed earlier this week that the eight-page story reimagines the dapper pink cartoon character as a gay Southern Gothic playwright in the mold of Tennessee Williams. Actually, that makes sense. Howard Porter has apparently replaced the originally solicited artist Dale Eaglesham. No reason was given by DC for the change. Here's an updated solicitation for that issue. Suicide Squad Banana Splits Annual Number 1, written by Tony Bedard. Backup story written by Mark Russell. Art and cover by Ben Caldwell. Backup story art by Howard Porter. Variant cover by Ben Caldwell. Retailers, this issue will ship with two covers. Please see the front order form for details. Suicide Splits. Mistaken for metahumans, thrown in the bowels of Belle Reve, the animal rock band Banana Splits are recruited by Amanda Waller for a secret mission to save the Suicide Squad. What follows is the weirdest team-up you never thought you'd see. How can Flegal, Bingo, Trooper, and Snorky stand up to Harley, Deadshot, Katana, and Croc? And in the backup feature, Snagglepuss is a Southern Gothic playwright working with an ensemble cast of cultural figures, exploring an intensely creative time in the New York City theater scene of the 1950s. On sale March 29th, 48 pages, FC, $4.99 US, rated T. Heavens to Murgatroyd. That's all I have to say about that.
And another case of, you know, rewriting history is like, they never paid attention to the cartoons. They just don't.
It's just a cartoon.
And they've just put a new spin. It's like, ugh. Well, you see the
cartoon.
And you see the cover
forward.
Okay,
the first comment by a fan. Heavens to Murgatroyd, this is outrageous. Preposterous, even. Did we decide to make Snagglepuss gay because he's pink? Have we really stooped to that level of stereotype? Does that mean Quickdraw McDraw has multiple personality disorder? McGill Grill must have separation issues. Yogi Bear has an eating disorder, and Huckleberry Hound must be dealing with depression because he's blue. Speaking of Huckleberry Hound, he was solicited as being the second character in the series, but this preview shows Augie Doggy. Hanna and Barbera must be rolling over in their graves. These characters were meant for lighthearted humor. I'm so tired of everyone pushing their agendas. Oh, and next year, maybe DC can get the rights to Courageous Cat Minute Mouse, and we could have the return of the Dark Cats. He's right.
And once again, we're dealing with social versus canonism.
Leave the characters alone, man. Damn it. Why do I feel like another character from our childhood is
Hey.
You know. Oh, and tonight is the night of the snow moon. A full moon, a lunar eclipse, and a comet all in one night tonight.
Full moon, solar eclipse, and comet.
No, lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipse.
A lunar eclipse. And tonight, I don't think I'll be seeing much.
Yes, it's cloudy out. The eclipse will be mostly easily viewed from the eastern portions of North and South America after sunset. Oh, we missed it. I have no idea what time all this is supposed to happen, but it was cloudy here today, so.
Yeah, it was cloudy then as well.
Oh, it's too late now. All this was supposed to happen by 9:30 p.m. tonight before the show started. Oh, during the show. Wonderful. I'm so glad they told us what time this was. Damn it. Oh, well.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
this
I
will
can
happen
see that
during
now.
The show.
In the middle of a podcast, okay, we're now going to step outside and take a look. Yes, the moon is going dark. And there's a comet. Do you see it?
I see it. I cannot
Mind
see
you,
it
this is
because
all audio.
It's dark. It's cloudy. I can't see it. Oh, and we have 90 seconds left. I want to thank Mad Viking for co-hosting once again. I want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen tonight. I want to thank everybody who listened to the replay on Sunday night on Dawn Radio. I want to thank everybody who's listening elsewhere, some other way. And I want to thank all listeners all the time. We love you guys. You guys rock. Without you guys, me and Mad Viking would just be talking to ourselves about comic book stuff and superherodom anyway. And we have 60 seconds left. Mad Viking, would you like to add anything?
Like I said, you can hear the rebroadcast on Sunday on vtxemu.com/dawnradio. There won't be an after party this time because of, like I spoke earlier in the day.
That's right. That's right. He's got to get on. I'm going to get going. And that's about that. Like I said, guys, we will see you guys next week. We'll be doing a show next week. Don't worry about it. And hopefully next week we won't have as much snow. Hopefully the snow will be gone, but this is ridiculous. It's crazy out there.
Oh, yeah.
What's that, guys? We will see you guys next week. Have a good 10 seconds. Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy the superhero shows on TV this coming week. If you can, go see the Batman Lego movie. I'm going to try and go see it this week, depending on how the weather is out there. If not, I'll see you all. And for all you lovebirds out there, Tuesday's Valentine's Day. Have a happy Valentine's Day. I'm just going to be hanging out. With that, we'll see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in. See you next time for another live episode of Paragon Radio. And this week, I got it right. Ah!
Yeah.
And I think, if I'm correct, I do believe we're in the after party, sir.
All right. Well, I got to get going.
All right. Thank you, sir. Great show as always. We are out of here. Would you like to say anything in closing?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. We're out of here.